Okay, so today is the 28th, and the title, let's see, I have to make up these titles. We're going to be working on power through the spine, and this lesson has to do with C7, which is the base of your neck. So I guess a movement title would be laying on your belly, holding on to your foot, if that references it from a movement point of view. Okay, so again, checking in with your contact, seeing how it is this evening, laying down on your back. Feel the back of your head and how it contacts the floor. Where on the back of your head do you feel contact? And if you ever so gently would change the contact of the back of your head via rolling your head. So choose a side that it's already a little bit rolled towards and then roll back to the middle. So please stay with that same side and just notice how the contact changes in the back of the head as you roll it to that side and to the middle. We're not interested in going your maximum. We're interested in where your head, right at this moment, feels like it can roll easily, as if it were well lubricated. And that may only be a little bit of movement, or for some it could be a lot, but stay within that place that feels comfortable. And notice the changing pressure, contact in the back of the head. Good. Let that rest when you come to your middle or your neutral. Then introduce a little bit to the other side, not introducing symmetry, but introducing the idea of changing the contact towards the other side. And typically on our second choice side, there's a different type of movement. Maybe it's smaller. So match the second side to the first side. So if you're only going a little bit on the second side, you're going to pass through your midline and you're going to go the exact amount on that first chosen side. So you're going to go back and forth matching that second side and noticing the change in pressure in the back of your head. Using a lot of your attention to feel that. And then gradually, can you make the movement less? So you're vacillating side to side each time, slightly less, until you're hovering around your midline and you come to a stop. And when you get to that place where you have your stop, just rest. Notice the contact in the back of the head. Notice your breathing. How free is your chest as you breathe? Is your chest in your self-image as you breathe? What for you is your chest? How free is your belly as you breathe? And what for you is your belly? Does your belly include your sides? Or is it just the front? And what are the sides like as you breathe? And behind you, in your back, how is your back as you breathe? And let's continue to notice our breathing as you turn yourself to lie on your front side. So go ahead, and you're all on your back right now, your backside. Turn and lie on your front side. And the floor provides a constraint to the front simply because it's immovable. And as you get comfortable there, witness again the breath. And in the front, we often divide the torso into the chest and the belly, sort of the upper torso and the lower torso. And yet, in the back, we can say, oh, my back. It can mean all of the back. So, can you feel your upper back as you breathe? Can you feel the sides of your back as you breathe? Can you feel your lower back as you breathe? Good. Turn your head to the side. It doesn't matter which one. We're going to let the arms be comfortable by our sides. I'm sorry, I said by your sides, but let me modify that. Just the hands by your head. The elbows are bent. There you go. And see what it's like to place your head where you've turned it. Is this the same side that was your first side to turn it to when you were on your back? Do you remember? And then turn it to the other side. Just pick your head up and place it down on the other side. And see what it's like here. Where does the breath get inhibited? On this side. And then place your forehead in the middle. So you're laying on the forehead. Your nose will be slightly compressed for a moment. And let's do a movement of lifting the head and the eyes, opening the eyes, and looking up. So let your head lift and let your eyes trail up, as if you wanted to see above you or the ceiling or somewhere on the wall, and then put the head back down. So we're going to do that several times, taking the eyes and lifting and then coming back down. Many of us, when we do this movement for the first time, we will immobilize somewhere the breath, immobilize the chest, or immobilize somehow so that we make our neck do most of it. Because we have a lot of mobility in the neck, and so we take the weight of the head and we let the neck do most of it. What we want to cultivate in this lesson is to connect the head so that the neck harmonizes more with the rest of us in this powerful movement of lifting the head. One of the themes of this lesson. Rest for a moment. Put your head to the side again. Now, if you have socks, I think it's best if you take them off because your toes will get more traction on the ground if you don't have socks on. Yeah. So if you have enough traction with your socks, you're okay. Yeah, we're going to do some stuff with the toes. Okay, so rest for a moment. You can place your head wherever it's comfortable. If your feet can be off your mat, you'll have the floor, which will kind of be nice for your toes. And we're going to do a movement with the right foot of bending the toes under. So I call this foot for standing or toes for running. So if you flex the foot and you stand the toes will bend. And it's almost as if you're trying to stand on the ball of your foot. And then could you please let that foot go flat so your toenails again are on the ground. Do that several times. Flex the foot and curl those toes under so you flare them. You don't really curl them, but you make them so that they can contact the floor. And then you make it go straight again. Good. Feel how the right foot wants to come to stand. Mm-hmm. Good. Rest for a moment and compare with your left foot. Do the same thing with your left and see how willing is the foot to bend, the ankle to bend, and the toes to find a position of standing or power on the floor a little bit. One foot is typically better than the other. Can you find out for yourself which one tonight seems like it can just do that a little more easily? And whatever one that is, choose it. And let the legs be long, let the toes be long. And so now you know which one you've chosen, right? The one that just is a little easier to do that. Now, your toes are long. Imagine a peg, like in the thong space, just like a wooden peg. If someone could take a peg and just stick it right between your big toe and your second toe, you're going to imagine that that peg stays there, and you're going to rotate your foot around the peg in the following way. So the toenails are on the ground here. Toenails are on the ground. Put your peg in between the great toe and the second toe. And roll your heel in and out so your foot rotates around that imaginary peg. So you take your heel a little in, you take your heel a little out. That's it. And just imagine that there's a peg there. And somehow you're spinning in a way around that peg. Good. Rest your foot. Now fold the toes under as if they're going to run, right? Or like take off like a track person. And feel again, you now put a vertical peg. And let your heel go in and out, thinking of that peg between the great toe and the second toe. Good. Rest your foot. Let the toes be long again. Can you feel that place between the great toe and the second toe? Leave your toes long, put the peg in again, and rotate the heel so that you're in and out with the heel and you're just, your toes are sort of wrapping a little bit around that peg. It's an imaginary thing, getting you to locate this place on your foot. Toes are long. Heels going in and out. In other words, right and left with your heel. Good. Rest. Once again, stand those toes. A few times, stand them, then let them go flat. And then stand them and let them go flat. Work that ankle, work that foot to be pliable so that those toes can get under and we can at one point perhaps maybe start to stand on the ball of your foot. And once they get under to your satisfaction, leave them there and rotate the heel a little bit left and right around an imaginary peg. And like we did with the head, can you refine it and go less and less until you're at the place that if you were a runner, that is where your takeoff would be? When you get to that place where the heel is aligned over that peg, you're going to put a little pressure into the ball of your foot and you're going to send the heel away from your head, lifting your knee and lengthening your leg. And then release your knee to the floor and repeat that. So the toes are staying under and you're lengthening the heel away from the head and the heel is in continuation in the alignment with that peg or with the ball of your foot. And there's a lengthening sensation, so it pulls through your hip long. It's possible to just bop the knee straight up. That's not what we're doing. We want this traction lengthening idea. And rest. When you get the tractioning lengthening idea, you will feel a pull in the pelvis. You'll feel a pull in the front pocket of the hip. You'll feel like that whole side got pulled away from your head. That's what you're after. Try it again. We need to refine it as to, can you even stick the toes under there? And do you have the heel in the right place to provide the pull? And it's small, it's subtle, it's not huge. But the knee lifts in reaction to the heel going away from the head. That's lovely. Good. Let that rest. Please give that foot up. Let that rest. Can you extend one arm above your head? Long, long, long above your head. Whatever arm you extended above your head, you're going to roll over it. Place the other arm for push-up. And the arm that you have in push-up, draw that knee up and roll over that long side till you get onto your back. Roll, 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 and then you'll be on your back. Whether you're on your mat or carpet, it doesn't matter. Just rest on your back. And can you tell what leg you chose to work with? What the toes, you know, the side that you chose? Can you tell? Is there something about the feeling in that leg or the feeling in that foot or the connection between your head and that leg that tells you, oh, that one did something that the other one didn't? Is there improvement somewhere? Improvement being defined in many ways. Does it feel more connected somehow, more alive, more cohesive, and more part of you? Does it feel more capable than the other side? Capable of standing on it, capable of thrusting, capable of doing a stair, capable of jumping, capable of receiving weight. Good, and roll back onto the front side of yourself. Place your head in a comfortable position. Notice how the two legs lie. What's different between one and the other? What one feels longer? And now with the other leg, think of the peg in between the great toe and the other toe. Leave the toenails long on the floor. And just take your heel in and out. Rotate your heel in and out, which rotates your hip and rotates your knee. And spin around that imaginary peg.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. Good. So you're now working with the other leg, the second leg. Good. Let that go. And a few times, seek to put those toes under. So now, under for running. Just flex the ankle, flex the toes, and see, what is it like to put them under? And then maybe let it go flat again, toenails flat, and then pick it up and flex it under. The more refined we get as to where the ball of the foot is and how the heel can relate to that, it's actually easier to put them under. And the next time you have them under, place an imaginary peg. The peg is vertical. And start to just pass your heel a little bit left and right. Rotate your heel. Feeling. Mm-hmm. Good. Rest your foot. Take both heels and roll them in towards each other and roll them away from each other. Put more of your attention in the second leg that we've now chosen to work with. Feel. Even though you're rolling both, foreground attention. Rolling in, rolling apart, 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 apart. Not just to midline. Apart, 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 apart. Some of you are stopping at midline. Roll them out. Heels go away. Then heels go together. And then heels go away. Your heels can really go together. They can roll, roll, roll. The heels. So, how do we roll the heels, right? Keeping the legs long. We take the whole leg and we spin it. So you'll feel that the kneecap is rolling as you roll the heel. A little in and a little out. The whole leg ends up rolling. Yeah. Good. Rest again. Just let the legs flop into their rest. And see where that takes your heels. Does that take your heels together? Does that take your heels away from each other? Somewhere in between? You know, where's the easiest place for the legs just to rest? Releasing the inner thigh. Again, take your second leg, the one that we've been working with. I'm not doing left and right, so you'll keep track. Fold those toes under. And a couple times go under and flat and really try and get those toes under so you can get a sense of maybe weight bearing on the ball of the foot a little bit. And once you're there and you refine where the heel needs to go, lengthen the heel away from your head and the knee will lift in so doing and you'll provide a lengthening force. That's it. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Good. It's a small thing and it may be tiring, so you do a couple and then you take a rest. Good. Rest everyone. Now let's see what will happen if we take both toes under, both feet. Put the toes to stand. And then we're going to alternate. One time we're going to take one heel long and that knee will lift. And then one time we switch. So you'll have alternately one knee lifting and then going down and then the other knee lifting as you lengthen your heels a little bit away. Uh-huh. Good. Rest. Rest, rest, rest. Prop up on your elbows, on your forearms, much like a cat would prop. Yeah. And in this position, put the toes under, put the toes flat a few times. Under and flat. And once you can get them under to where you like them under, can you jostle yourself a little bit? Think of the heels to and fro, not side to side. Up and down, head to heel. And do it by pressing the heels or pressing the toes. Just sort of jostle. Uh-huh. Kind of funny idea, isn't it? Uh-huh. Good. Let that go and rest yourself. Let your feet go and come all the way down. Again, put the toes under and alternate with lengthening the heel away. One time one knee lifts, then the other time the other knee lifts. Feel that lengthening through the hip. Good. Now try lengthening them both at the same time and then releasing. Good. Rest. Rest your toes. Rest your legs. How is your breathing in your back? Now place your forehead on the ground. Put your toes for standing, toes for running. Now, do the movement we did a few minutes ago where you lift your head up and you look up. While you do it, can you lengthen your heels away? While you lift your head. And then place your head back down on the forehead and let your knees relax. So see, what happens when you think lengthening? What happens in the torso? Or Pilates might say, what's happening in your core, right? What's happening in the use of yourself when you do that? And does that help you lift your head higher or make any kind of a difference as you lift your head? Good. Let that rest. Go all the way over to your back and take a rest on your back. Again, change the contact in the back of your head by rolling it ever so slightly just to where it's really well organized one way and then back to the middle. And then introduce a little bit to the other way and find out what's the contact feel. So you're going to roll your head back and forth, respecting how far it wants to roll the right and respecting how far it wants to roll to the left, and not looking for symmetry, but feeling information. And notice the change in contact. And as you roll your head, how connected is the head with the rest of your spine? So as you take your head a little bit left and a little bit right, do you connect with the chest? As you take your head a little bit left and a little bit right, do you connect with your waist? as you take your head a little bit left and a little bit right, rolling it, do you connect with the pelvis and hips? And find your center, more or less, of your head. Through contact, find out where your midline would be. And take your hands and place them somewhere on your forehead and fingers into your hair. And if you brush your hands along your forehead, as if you wanted to flip your hair back, do that a few times. Just run your fingers through your hair. So it's like forehead and up and back, and then you'll find the floor back there somewhere. And at one of these times, you're going to, instead of letting your hands brush, you're going to maintain a contact of your hands. And you're going to let that movement tilt your head back so that your chin goes a little away from your chest. And then you're going to let your hands bring your head back to where you thought your center was. And a few times you're going to repeat that. You're going to let somehow, maybe you're contacting your cheekbones, maybe you're pulling your hair, maybe you're on your forehead, but you're going to use your own hands to help mobilize your chin and your head to tilt back a little bit. And every time you feel yourself doing that, can you take your eyes and can you look up as you do that? And then as you assist your head to come back to what would be your neutral, your eyes then will do the horizon, will look straight ahead. So let's cultivate that a little, just tilting the head back a little bit, and then the eyes following back to neutral when the head gets to neutral. If you've been doing it with open eyes, close your eyes. So your hands are assisting and the head is assisting too. It's like a dance between the two. Gently, comfortably letting the jaw release. Notice it's a very interesting thing. When your head tilts back, if your jaw is really released, it actually opens the mouth. It takes the top teeth away from the bottom a little bit. Good. Now start going a little bit, rest your arms, without your arms. Start taking your eyes down and letting your head tilt down so that your nose goes a little more near the breastbone. The chin tucks a little bit. And then go to neutral. And as you do that, can you look down? So you're just lengthening the back of your neck a little bit as you do that. Just gently. It doesn't have to be your maximum. Now contact your hands with the head again, anywhere, the face, the head you choose, and help the head to go back and forth, to tilt up and to tilt down. And have your eyes go along with that. So when it tilts down, you look down, and when it tilts up, you look up. Relax your jaw. Good. Let that go. Rest everything. Roll your head a little bit to the left and a little bit to the right and see how the contact is and how the rolling of your head is. Place yourself now on your front side. So roll over. Place your head to the side Your hands are up by your head. And I'd like you to turn your head to the other side via lifting your head up and turning it. So you could even think of if your chin had the ability to make a line, if we had like a laser light or something, your chin would make a line on the floor. Now, your chin does not have to drag on the floor. For some, that's really comfortable. If that's not comfortable for you, it can lift higher than the floor. But just the idea is that the head is lifting up and tilting a little bit as you change your head from side to side. What happens with your shoulders as you change your head from side to side? Does one shoulder lift towards the ear or go away from the ear? Allow the shoulders to play and dance, for they surely can, as you turn the head. Try not to freeze the shoulders. Try and let them be free to respond, and you can actually not only let them be passive, but you can do something with them to make the movement nicer for yourself. So it's subtle, but you can let the clavicles, the collarbones, and the scapula and the upper back be a little bit more induced to participate. Good. Okay, rest for a moment. Now, there's a way that we're going to turn the head now, which is very different than what we were doing. We were just lifting the head. Now, instead, we're going to tuck the chin and drag the forehead until the head turns to the other side. In doing so, the back lifts between the shoulder blades and C7, that last cervical vertebra, will lift a little bit. So if you tuck your chin, the chest actually lifts off the floor. And the back will kind of raise up towards the ceiling or go behind you. The back goes backwards in the upper back. Your spine has to do something to accommodate this idea of the head dragging on the forehead or dragging on the hairline, depending on how you do it. Good. Now, let's everybody choose the right foot and place the right toes under. Now, every time you do this movement of sort of tucking your chin and dragging your head underneath you, I want you to raise your knee via lengthening your heel away. And then when your head changes sides, you put your knee down and you release that lengthening idea. You still keep your toes tucked. And then when you're ready to do it with your head again to change sides, you lengthen the heel away and the knee will lift. So you make some sort of sense of that this foot thing might be congruent to doing your head. And it's doing your head via tucking your chin. Gently, gently. It's subtle. And it's tiring. You may need to rest your foot. Very nice work. Rest. Let's try a similar thing with the left foot. Place those toes under as if for running. Very slowly and subtly, figure out how to turn your head side to side via tucking the chin, letting the chest rise, and then everything releases when you're on the side and you're looking into a new side each time, left and right, alternating. Gently. rest. Give that all up and please roll onto your back. Turn, yes, sure. Please, on your back, continue to check in with the rolling of your head. So take your head a little bit to the right, a little bit to the left. Sense the contact in the back of the head, for that may be changing. Let yourself again go to the midline, and that's where you'll hover and rest there. Okay, go back onto your front side. Bend your right knee. So, not to the side, don't draw it up, just bend it up so that the foot comes near to the pelvis, and then let it come back down again. And then bend your left knee. Which one comes near to the pelvis? Another word for the pelvis would be your bum, your buttocks, right? Which one seems to just easily come up? There will be one. Can you make a choice? Maybe it's pretty subtle. At any rate, if you don't know which one, you can make a choice. Now, here's where your sock may come in handy. Some of us may be able to hold on to the foot with the same hand. You're going to choose a foot, okay? You're going to bend the knee. You're going to see if you can hold the foot with your hand. If that's hard, you loop a sock around. There's a sock in the middle if anyone needs one. And you see if you can get a hold of the foot and or the ankle eventually. Yeah. Oh, you need a sock. You got a hamstring cramp. Yeah. Sometimes if that happens, you need to actually stand up and walk a little bit to work that out. The other hand, whichever hand's not holding the foot, is going to be with the elbow in the air like you're doing a push-up. And in this manner, you're going to do the exact same movement we were doing with the head, which is to tuck the chin and to turn it to the other side. Whilst you do that, the movement is going to be to take the foot away from the buttocks, away from the pelvis. That's it. Now, if that's a big strain and the other hand is for a push-up, it can help you. If that's a very big strain, you're tucking the chin, so your hairline or your forehead should be on the ground. That's the idea. Mm-hmm. Gently. Yes, you're tucking the chin. To turn the head to the other side, you're tucking the chin, you're lifting the chest as you do that, and you're letting the head come out to the other side. Does that make sense, how we're turning the head? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, every time you do that, you're looking at me like, what are we supposed to be doing? Rest for a minute. This is so comfortable. Rest for a moment.
Are you pulling your leg away?
You're pulling your leg away. So, away means not to the side.
Right.
It means away. Yeah. Yeah, away. So, let's try that again. So you're holding on, if it's your right leg, you're holding on with your right hand. If it's your left leg, you're holding on with your left hand. The other hand is like a push-up position for helping. And every time you tuck your chin and you're making the turn, you're pulling the foot away from you. Uh-huh. It's interesting movement, isn't it? So for some, it's like, why would we do this? This doesn't seem connected at all. What is this? Rest, everyone, for a moment. Rest, 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 rest. So yeah, I remember when I first did this lesson, all I thought was like a big old stretch in my quad, right? A huge stretch. Anyone having back issues right now? Go ahead and roll on your back. Let's do something for your back. Does anyone's back feel really tight from doing that? Yeah, a little bit. So go ahead and rest on your back. Bring your knees over your chest. Hold on to your knees. Raise your head. Look between your knees. Push your lower back into the floor and rock a little bit side to side. This is abdominal contraction, flexor contraction. It will lengthen the lower back. And then you put your head back down, rest, and you can do that several times. So this is sort of, you know, lesson 6 out of a 6-week series, but that's okay. It's a tough lesson. It's a very interesting lesson. We're going to look at a couple of students to see if we can make this clarify a little bit better. So, good. Rest for a moment. Can we? Okay. I turned the heat on full blast. If anyone gets too hot, you'll let me know. So, the crux of this is that the leg motion does what, remember when your leg was standing and you lengthened it? That actually occurs with the pulling of the foot away. That can mimic that in more of a slightly different way, but it's the lengthening idea. So, since our demo just left for a moment, why don't you come around me for a moment? So, the basic idea with the head, right, is that somehow we're lifting to go to the other side. So somehow this part is lifting, right? And if you look, that's like doing, there's a lot of back extension work, right? It's a lot of almost like an arch, right? But I'm choosing to let my head drag. Okay? That's the basic idea. It's like, how can we do that very powerfully through the pelvis so that we don't just torque it right in the lower back, right? How can we get more power? So there's various ideas. When I do something like that, you all felt that just helps stabilize and gives you some power. Similar thing with this. If you're not lifting the knee, if you lift the knee, it's just creating a big crease right here, right? That's all low back. That's not really what we're after. We're after taking the leg away and lengthening. It's a very subtle movement, but it's one like that versus one like that. You feel this? So for those of you who are listening on tape, if the knee stays near the ground and you take the foot away and lengthen everything away from the head versus just lifting the knee. So now we're going to look at a student. Can we look at you do the movement? So, just gather around for a moment. So, it's hot, yeah. If it's too hot, you're going to let me know. I'll turn the heat down. So, this idea of that lengthening helps pull this up and somehow generates power in through here. See, when we watch him do it, it doesn't look like a bizarre movement. It looks like something that actually could go together. You know, it's like, oh, that kind of makes a little sense. You're going to try and have it make sense. Now, for many of us, just simply connecting here to something, you know, whoa, that's a big idea. So that's where you use your sock, right? So that you're not in so much strain that you can't even do anything. So you use a sock or whatever. But there's a sense that it's as if I could pull his knee that way.
like I could slide his knee. Sorry, pull your pants off. But right, but it's that lengthening idea. That's the idea of power through the pelvis. That's your core work, and that's going to make sense and improve you. Yes?
Yeah, one thing that might be good to try is putting your forehead on the floor and then bringing
it
away.
Let's try that so we won't do all sorts of stuff. Yeah, that's a great idea. So here's the idea that is presented. I think you all heard it. So just put your forehead on the floor. Put your knee up. Hold on to the knee. And then just take... hold on to the knee. I meant hold on to the ankle or the foot or your sock. And take the foot away from the pelvis. And see if the taking of the foot away from the pelvis can start to hoist up the chest a little bit, right? And drag you more onto your forehead and tuck your chin. So there is something about... yes, that's it. That movement was it. Do you feel that? That's making some sense now?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's hard. It's a lot of back extension work. You feel?
Mm-hmm.
Great. Rest for a moment. Yes, see, now that's starting to make sense throughout your system. It doesn't feel like an arbitrary... it's hard. It's no doubt it's hard. Okay. So rest, everyone, for a moment. Now, we can add the other leg doing something that might make some sense. So whatever is your other leg. So one leg is bent, you're going to hold on to that ankle. The other leg, you're going to take those toes under. The leg will be straight and the toes are going to be under. The other hand is like doing a push-up to help you. Now, every time you do this movement with your head, not only do you lengthen the ankle away, but you also lengthen the heel. And you tuck your chin and you turn your head to the other side. Gently. That's the idea. Very subtle and demanding somewhat. In between, when your head's to the side, your knee releases. Your knee releases, everything releases. And then you begin again. And then everything releases when you're to the side. Uh-huh. Good. And rest when you need to. There's a tremendous amount of back strengthening going on here. Can you feel it in your back? Your back is really working. Go ahead and roll onto your back again. Your back side. And let's release your back again. Let's bring your knees over your chest. That's it. Raise your head a few times. And then you can rock a little bit to and fro, either side to side or start to rock to and fro. That's it. Get a little momentum going if that feels safe for you. Good. Rest for a moment. Put your feet on the floor. Knees are up. Knees are up. Separate your feet a little bit. Knees are up. Feet standing. Place your right hand behind your head. Take your left knee over your chest and hold on to it with your left hand. And a few times direct the right elbow and the left knee to approach each other, picking up your head with your hand and then release it and approach each other and push your back into the floor as you do so. There's an exhale with that typically, unless you can keep your breath very free as you bend your chest, but many of us, if we hold the breath, it just stiffens everything. So just exhale as you do that and let your lower back get stretched a little bit. Good. And then rest for a moment and we'll switch the sides. Yeah, it's too warm. Yeah, you know, the heat didn't kick on, so I put it like on full blast, so I'll remedy the situation. Okay, put the other hand behind your head. Take your right knee over your chest. Approximate the left elbow to the right knee. The other leg is bent, please. There you go. Yeah, that gives you a little more stability. Can you feel? Because then that standing foot can help stabilize and you can really push the back into the ground and lengthen out the low back. Good. Okay, let that all go and see how you are laying down. Flat if you can. Let's go back onto your front side again. And like the student Fox said, I think it's a great idea of just letting the forehead be straight down. You're going to choose the other leg, the one that you didn't bend before. Same hand to same ankle, other hand doing like a push-up position. And a little bit, just try the idea of a lengthening the foot away and seeing if that can lift your chest so that you can tuck your head a little bit, tuck your chin a little bit, and go back and forth. Idea being not to really let the knee rise so much, but to lengthen the whole leg. And rest if you need to. Rest when you need. Everybody rest. Bend that knee up again, that same one you just were working with. The other hand does a push-up position. Now begin to introduce the idea of turning the head side to side via dragging on the forehead and tucking the chin. And every time you do that motion, you lengthen the foot away and then you release towards the pelvis as your head goes to the side. So as your head goes to the side, becomes the rest. Excuse me?
But you can't get anything with this side. It's weird.
Maybe you need a sock around. You need more than a sock.
I can't really feel that same.
Yeah, isn't it interesting how different it is from one side to the other? So you just, you know, visualize it a little bit and you do that. You don't ask for perfection. You do less and you feel more. You don't try and willpower your way through. Slowly, slowly, slower than that. Slow motion. And resting when you need. Good. Everybody rest on your fronts. Come back onto your front, onto the front side of the belly. And go back to that place where we took both feet under. And do both feet under, both feet flat, toes under, toes flat, toes under, toes flat. And when you have the toes under to your satisfaction, begin lengthening one heel away and then the other heel away. So begin an alternating sequence. And then a few times, excuse me, lengthen them at the same time. The next time you find yourself lengthening them at the same time, combine that with lifting your head and looking up, 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 up. How far can you look up? Uh-huh. Do you feel your belly pushing into the ground as you do that? Do that. That's good. The belly becomes not sucked in, but actually firm and pushing. Yeah, do you feel that? That's it. Good. Rest. Everybody roll onto your back. Take a rest on your back. Now, bring both knees over your chest. And we're going to tuck one foot behind one knee. So let's all do the same. Let's take the right foot and tuck the right foot behind the left knee, in the crook of the left knee, so that the right knee is out to the side. Mm-hmm. The right knee behind the left knee. Uh-huh. And you're going to hold the toes with one hand and hold the ankle with the other. Yeah, in between your knees. There you go. And that way you can kind of pretzel your knees a little bit and make a little circle with the legs in this configuration. Yeah, that's it. Yep. You're holding, hold this ankle. No, this one stays loose. You're just holding the right ankle. The right. This is the right ankle. And the right. There you go. And then you just make a little circle. Okay. So it's a way to stretch out the hip a little bit. Yeah, and you can change your handhold if you want, but you're stretching the hip a little bit. Yeah, and make a circle in the other direction. Can you lift your head a few times and keep your head as you rock a little bit in a circle or rock side to side? And then put your head down when you need. And let the whole kit and caboodle go. Ah, good. Roll over to your belly again. One last time, I know. Oh, what a way to end a series, huh? Okay, that leg, that one that you were working with, you're going to bend it and hold on to it. The other leg, you're going to make the toes go under. And every time you turn your head in this funny way of tucking your chin, you're going to both lengthen the heel of the toes that are standing and lengthen pulling the other leg away from the pelvis gently. Uh-huh. That's it. Becomes that. Yeah, is that okay?
Mm-hmm.
Me helping you a little bit? That's the motion. Uh-huh. That's a big motion. That's the motion. Feel how your belly really pushes into the floor as you do that. It stabilizes. Good. Rest. Undo. Everybody rest and you're going to switch your sides. So when you're ready, take the other leg and bend it. And then the foot that's not bent, that one, is going to tuck under to stand. And the free hand is going to be like doing a push-up, elbow into the ceiling, towards the ceiling. And begin to change your head from side to side. In this interesting way. So it's so much more connected now. I'm speaking to a student. Do you feel? It doesn't feel like two arbitrary things. That feels so much more connected. It's a subtle movement. And the back is getting a great deal of strengthening. And the neck is getting a very non-habitual thing. Gently, 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 slowly. Wonderful. When you have had enough, you rest on your back. Now, after doing so much extensor work, we'll counter it with a little flexor work.
So on your back, begin. Let's do the other side, which was the left. Put the left foot and ankle in the crook of the right knee. Bring both knees over your chest. Hold on to that left foot and that left ankle with your hands. And you can adjust your hands as you need to. You can press the knee out a little more if you want to. Whatever feels best, and you sort of rock around. You make a circle or back and forth. You'll feel when it feels right. You can lift your head to add a little more flexor work. Gently. That's it. Yeah. Just letting your back widen out after it's done so much work. Very good. When you've had enough of that, you'll just lengthen your legs. Feel your contact now. We started feeling the contact specifically in the back of the head. Does the back of your head feel like it's lying slightly differently now? And if you roll your head a little bit to the left and a little bit to the right, have you improved in rolling in some way? Either feels easier to roll, you roll more, or it's more connected. Can you feel all the way down to the waist? The low back, the belly, the hips, an echo as you roll the head. And let your head just come to center. Just rest. Feel what it's like to really rest after this lesson. It's a fairly gymnastic-y kind of lesson. How is your breathing? Is your breathing in sections, or does it feel more of a cohesive process? And where now do you have space to accommodate the breath that you didn't before? Where are you aware that the breath is speaking to? Or that's speaking to you as you breathe? Okay. Very slowly and easily, bring yourself up to stand. And I want you to note in standing your pelvis. How is it that you are in the lower pelvis? That's the front, the belly, the sides, the hips, the back, the low back. How is it the bottom of ourselves? Good. And turn your head a little bit side to side and note the idea of the hips and the pelvis, the part that worked a lot in this lesson. Does that have an echo? Can you let it have an echo? Turning your head. Can you look down and can you feel the echo in your low back and the echo in your chest? Can you tilt your head up and look up and feel the echo in the chest, feel the lengthening in the hips? So again, in standing, many of us just freeze everything and we just take the head. Just take the head. But what we're looking at in this lesson is, can you really feel contact through? Almost like you could do a lengthening. So that when you look up, if someone were pulling your heels and lengthening you,
you'd be very stable to look up, and it wouldn't just be your neck. Can you do the difference? Can you make it just be your neck and the weight of your head hanging down, and then think like taffy? You lengthen something in the core, activates, right? It's not a non-muscular thing. There's something that activates. The chest lifts. It's not all neck. The head can be free, and you're connected with the floor or your surface you're standing on. Good. Walk a little bit and feel that connection with the ground as you walk. And the head can become more and more free and supple when we get that connection. Good. Good, 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 good. Okay. We'll end there.